All right, we're joined on KMBR by the KMBR insider himself, and that is Hank Shulman. Henry Shulman joins us. Henry, I look forward to this conversation with you each year because there's a perspective to spring training. You know, you start off in February, you get to this point in March. What happened? What was accomplished or not accomplished? And especially for the world champion. So how do you feel about looking back on these last 6 weeks?
This was a different spring for most because they really didn't have to introduce any new players into the mix. They're all the old players. They did lose players to the WBC. So there really wasn't much that had to be accomplished aside from getting the players physically ready to play. And from what I've seen, the pitching staff is there. Right now there are some nagging injuries on the hitting side. In the past week, you've had Scudero with a bad back and Sandoval with a, can't throw with his arm. Hector Sanchez has been hurt. Even Andres Torres had a little thing in his foot. It was just really trying to keep these guys on the field and get them prepared. And compared to some of the other teams in the division, the Giants did a pretty decent job of that. And a lot of that is luck, of course. But you've seen the injuries that the Dodgers have had, up to and including Hanley Ramirez tearing his thumb in the last game of the World Baseball Classic. Chase Headley of the Padres cracking a bone in his thumb during a bunt. You look compared to that, the Giants did a pretty good job of what they needed to accomplish.
Henry Shulman with us. Henry, the pitching staff, and I've seen all the games. You've seen them as well. Lincecum is maybe the one question. It looks better than last year. I think that we all sort of agree on that. What about Sergio Romo as the closer? What has happened with him, just as a teammate, someone that we deal with, and just as a player?
Well, as a teammate and on the field, He has struggled a little bit this spring with this sort of pinpoint command that he has. I mean, in this last game here, he did pitch a scoreless inning, but he tried to throw four straight four-seam fastballs on the outside corner, the kind that he threw to Cabrera last year to end the World Series, and he missed with all of them. So I think he needs a little more fine-tuning there. Fortunately for the Giants, they have abundant guys who can close games if Romo's not ready. I mean, Casilla just came back from the WBC. He pitched five innings down there and allowed one hit. It was a triple by Angel Pagan, but it was one hit. Jeremy Affelt has closed games. Javier Lopez could even close a game if one of the right-handers gets in trouble. There's two outs and, say, an Ethier or an Adrian Gonzalez comes up. So I don't think he's quite where he needs to be right now. As a person, he seems to be the same happy-go-lucky Sergio Romo that you see in the clubhouse all the time, but he is sort of at war with the media right now, and it's not really anything I can explain because he hasn't explained it. His attitude has, sort of been like, if you don't know what's wrong, I'm not going to tell you. And, I'm a little perplexed by it because I think we've done a lot of positive things for his career by building him up as a closer, as a guy who has the guts to do that kind of job. And it's just a little baffling to me. And, he told me, and I tried to have a conversation with him as he was running away from me. And he said, look, I just have to get some things through straight in my head. And, then things will be better. But I've given him his space. I haven't tried to talk to him very much at all. I really don't know what's going on there. But I hope for the sake of the fans that he kind of gets over this because I know they're interested in what he has to say.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Now, you're a veteran. Yeah, as I saw with Barry Bonds, I saw you have to struggle with Barry Bonds and him saying all these things. And Romo is a distant cousin to that, but it is disturbing, and you wonder what's going on. We'll find out. It's one of those stories that'll play out. The Giants on Friday made a couple of moves. You predicted one that Nick Noonan would come back as possibly utility infielder. Tony Abreu looks like he may go on the DL. What about the bench of this ball club? It's always been a strength to me. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, the bench is definitely the weakest aspect of the Giants team going into camp. Hector Sanchez, who's the backup catcher, is hurt. The guy who's buying him on the depth charts, Guillermo Quiroz. One good thing for him is that he's handled the staff really well. The pitchers like working with him, and that's important, but he really doesn't look like he's going to hit very much. And hitting for the backup catcher is a little bit more important on a team that wants to give Buster Posey its days, and because you're losing a lot from the lineup, you don't expect the backup catcher to hit like Buster Posey, but you don't expect him to hit like Eli Whiteside either. Arias is a solid piece as a backup. He even played first base last night in the game just to see what he could do, how much more versatile he can be. And then you have sort of an outfield right-handed bat competition right now that seems like it's between Francisco Peguero, who's a rookie, and Cole Gillespie, who's been a minor league journeyman with some major league time with the Diamondbacks. And either one of those could be a nice player, but this is not the kind of team that has a bench full of guys where you can honestly say that if you put them in the lineup when a regular sits that you're really not losing all that much. This is not the strongest bench that they've had in a while. The one thing that the asterisk I'll put there is that we really haven't seen what Francisco Peguero can do in the major leagues with any kind of extended playing time. He's looked awfully good in pretty much all phases of the game down here.
Yeah, the problem with players like that is they'll play once a week. And for a young player to come off the bench once a week or pinch hit once a week, it generally doesn't work out. That's the life of a fifth outfielder. That's where you like that veteran who understands his role. Has there been a young player, other than Peguero, because he's been around a little bit, has anyone stood out to you in this spring, any of the people who've been reassigned, or any of the young players you say, okay, he opened my eyes a little bit?
Yeah, the one guy that immediately comes to mind is Chris Heston, the pitcher, the starting pitcher. We've been told that he's pretty much the next guy up when they need a pitcher. And if you happen to go online and look at Chris Heston's stats in the minor leagues, I mean, he is an incredible strike thrower. His strikeout to walk ratio is like 4-1, 5-1. He throws in the low 90s, but he's got four pitches and he can throw them all for strikes. I went down to the minor league camp, actually the Diamondbacks minor league camp. He pitched in a game, he started a game there, and he just looked absolutely ready to pitch in the major leagues. And I think he's the guy who perhaps opened my eyes a little bit most, because you wonder with Lincecum in the final year of his contract and Zito in the final year of his contract, or just if somebody gets hurt this year, you wonder who's the starter that would fill in. Now, Chad Godin, who looks like he's going to make the team as a swingman, he theoretically could start a game. He's been stretched out down here. But if they choose the route of bringing somebody up from the minor leagues, I think it would be intriguing to see Heston. And, in fact, they've given him the opportunities to play in some big league, pitch in some big league games up here.
You know, it's funny, as you're speaking, and we're talking about so many aspects of the San Francisco Giants and this and that and what's going to happen, a couple of injuries. I'm saying to myself, they are the world champions. And I wonder, do they walk with that swagger, or do they have that swagger when they go out on the field as the world champions?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's that confidence that to know not only that you have the ability to win a championship, but also the confidence to know that you can go through the adversity of a season and still win a championship. So I think if the Giants somehow started the year 5-15, which, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but if they happen to start the year 5-15, with everything they've gone through, the struggles they had in 2010, and then that they overcame, and then overcoming those 2-3 game deficits in the postseason before getting the World Series, you have that. I wouldn't say swagger, but you have that internal confidence of knowing, hey, there really, really is no need to panic. And you hear teams say that all the time, but on a lot of those teams, you know they're panicking. You're not going to get that with the Giants.
No, I agree with you 100%. I said, boy, if they're 5 back with 25 to go, they're in the position they want to be in. They're not going to. They've been down that road before. I agree with you on that. Hunter Pence is a last thought for you. He's had a nice spring. We know what he did last year. He's a big part of the club. Kind of an unusual guy now that you get to know him even a little more. But what would you tell the fans about Hunter Pence? What do you think is going to happen with him this year?
Just from what I've seen in spring training, he hasn't cut down his swing. Let me tell you that. If you're thinking you're going to, you know, see a nice compact swing, you're not going to. The one thing I've noticed this spring is that he really has been a little bit more selective at the plate. He's drawing some walks. He's not chasing at what I call Aaron Rowan sliders as much as he did with the Giants last year. And I really get the sense that that after last year when he was the big pickup, and I think he felt he needed to hit a five-run home run every time up, in contrast to that, I think this year I've seen him take some more pitches, go to right field quite a bit, take what's given to him. He's shown his immense power, not only in batting practice, but even in the games as well. And, I'm not saying you're looking at a 300 hitter here, because that's not what he is, but I don't think you're going to see the anomaly of a guy who hits 219 or whatever it was and drives in 40 runs in 2 months.
Well, you called Nick Noonan. You said that this morning, that Nick Noonan's going to be the utility guy. Looks like he will be it.
Well, there is kind of a last-dash competition. Tony Abreu is the guy they really wanted from the outset to have that job. They wanted to sign him last year before he signed with Kansas City, and they really wanted him to win the job out of spring because he's on the 40-man. But he's just had this nagging knee injury that's frustrated him, and I know it's frustrated Bochy a little bit. They still feel he can get on the field and in the next 10 days or so, before the season starts, and I think Noonan right now is actually maybe the backup plan. Yeah. That if Abreu just can't get it together because of his knee, then Noonan can come up and sort of be this year's Brian Bocock.
Yeah.
Well, the difference being Bocock started, but Noonan could come up and just get a shot to play. I mean, he's still young. He's 23. Had a very nice season at Fresno last year. He's got a decent glove, and he could be the one rookie there that starts this year.
Yeah, and you have to show your organization sometimes you have faith in the players and not just bring in a 35-year-old and knock your guy out.
No, absolutely, that's true, and they'll tell you that. Any organization will tell you that. You have to show the kids who are toil through the minor leagues that there's light at the end of the tunnel, so they don't all have to slump their shoulders at the end of March and go, or at the beginning of spring training and go, it really doesn't matter what I do here, I'm not going to win a job.
All right, Henry Schulman with us. Henry, I always look forward to the Chronicles baseball section, and it's coming out this week before the Bay Bridge series. This is going to be terrific. The predictions, the cartoons on the front, always a good section.
Yeah, and we've been having fun with that section. I think, don't hold me to this, I think it's coming out Wednesday. We always have fun with this section because we don't necessarily just write the old cliched stories about, this is what the team is going to do this year, and we try to pick a theme and run with it, and I don't want to say what the theme is, but it's a unique angle this year. But you'll have stories from myself, John Shea, Susan Slusser, of course Bruce Jenkins, and all the columnists at the Chronicle. I know a lot of people look forward to picking it up at the newsstand.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think it's great. I save it every year, and about August I say, all right, let's see who you picked. And it's never easy, trust me, in baseball. Henry, thanks so much as always. It's a pleasure to be with you in spring training.
You bet, Marty.
All right. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.